God is good?
All the time.
He is good all the time. We had a celebration of victory yesterday. Sister Cindy went to be with the Lord. She's with Jesus in paradise, in places so beautiful that we can't even imagine, with no pain, no sorrow, no tears, just joy, unspeakable joy. And we get to share in that with her because that was her victory and that's our promise. Amen? Our promise, because we believe and our hearts are true to Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the answer to our dreams. Jesus is the answer to our forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Let's stand up and pray together, Lord. Thank you for this day. This day that we have today was not promised yesterday. We have this day, we have the chance for blessing and miracles in our life. We have a chance to feel God's presence in our life in a way that we didn't feel it yesterday. We have a chance to draw closer to God today for our lives, our friends' lives, our families' lives, our children's lives. That love will change the world. That love was here yesterday, healing the sorrow already. And that first day, the first moment, the first smile, God's love began the healing process. With love, we can overcome anything. And then this house is full of that love. The love here, the family here. We need each other more than we did yesterday. And we're just here together this morning to praise Him, to talk about Him, to worship Him, to read His Word, so that we can all be closer together as a family in Christ. This family in Christ, this house built for Him, to be the bride for Him and Him alone. Lord, I ask that hearts be open to receive today, the joy be full today, and the peace be full today as we read Your Word and learn more about You and just rejoice together in this house. Lord, I ask angels to circle around this church and keep us safe. Keep us safe from the world, Lord, and as we talk about You and we invite You, Lord, and the Holy Spirit into this church, into the presence of this church to be with us, to be near us, and to love us, Lord. And as we join together in joy in this house on this day that was not promised yesterday, in Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Would you open up your books to Psalm 12 and sing along with us if you like? And if you believe it, sing louder. The louder you sing, the louder you believe.
I know.
can hang on to that. If you can just say that every day, you can't make me doubt him. It'll change your life. How many know we need each other? More than ever. More than ever, things are coming against not just our church, things are coming against believers, amen? Because this is the, you know, the times where anybody who really focuses on the Bible and the God of the Bible and Jesus, no matter what church you go to, if that's what they're focusing on, you know the attacks are going to come, amen? And that's why we have to band together. We need to have more prayer nights. We need to get people together. We need to have a prayer on a Sunday where everybody holds hands and comes together. We need to be united. We're all one person. Amen? We're all one person. Just we need to see that. The left foot is connected to the right foot. It's a different foot. Amen? But you still need the left foot to be connected to the right foot on the walk. That's what we all need. We all need that for strength. How many know? Anybody here going through anything today? I can't make it without you. I can't. There you go. But that's what I'm saying to you. We can't make it without each other. That's what church is all about. It's not about the tradition. It's not about the pageantry. That's all beautiful. But when you leave, you forget about the pageantry. When you're facing trouble on Monday, the pageantry of Sunday did nothing for you. It's about when you know about God and who you can pick up the phone and call. Deacon Gary, I need you to pray. Joseph, I need you to pray for me. Hey, let's talk. Let's get together. Let's encourage each other. Because when you put the phone down and you talk to unbelievers, guess what you get? Confusion. You get confusion. And all of a sudden, you start falling back. Amen? I'll start giving in again to the temptations. And you know that that's a lie. You know the devil's a liar. Amen? That's why we need each other, because God's got victory. And that's where the church should be rejoicing. We got victory in Jesus. Amen? Victory in Jesus. And put your hand in the hand, amen? And as you're putting that hand in the hand, take this hand and look at your believers, your brothers and sisters, and put it in that hand, because we are stronger together, amen?
Put your hand in the hand of the
today. Psalm number 14 in your book, if you want to sing along. We hope that you can. You may pray. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
I need you all to stand up and pray with me this morning, would you, nice, and to our Father in heaven, and praying to our Father who loves us and who has blessed us with all these blessings and who has given us the blue sky and all the things in our lives. And just we need to just pray to him this morning from this church. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know the Catholic Bible, some of the Bibles do not add that part, that thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Is that correct? That's later. Later, see? So some people say, well, we say it wrong, but we all say it right. We just say it different. He has the kingdom, right? And all the glory is to God. Amen? We're not against each other. This isn't a competition. This is about God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. And I said it right today. Just recently, there was somebody who, before a speech, actually read the Lord's Prayer and had it in a piece of paper, and they were reading it. And other people the next day were criticizing that, and I said, I know exactly how that feels, because I know the Lord's Prayer, and I've messed it up how many times now? At least a dozen. I bet you all taking bets when the next time I'm going to do it is, because I did it about 3 weeks ago, and just, right? I mean, so...
That's because you're thinking too much.
I know that there was a great singer from New Haven, Bolton, Michael Bolton? Yeah, he was at Fenway Park singing the national anthem. You know, and when you're singing the national anthem at the ballpark, they got this giant screen everybody's looking at. Well, they saw Mike go like this. And they started booing. I said, absolutely. I'd have it on my hand, my wrist. I'd have it on my sleeve. When you sing a song like that in front of them, I mean, your mind just, it's not that you don't know the words. You just... Thank God, Greg, we have guitars in our hand, and we can make a mistake and hide behind. Nobody knows we may, it sounds like jazz. Helen. Praise God. So you're praying in church. You know, how many know we don't have to be perfect?
No.
The Bible says we don't have to be perfect because the Bible tells us we fall short every day. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, because there is a belief in another world that if you fail one of the five mandatory things you have to do to be a part of that religion, you lose your place. But hallelujah. Let's read the responsive reading. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Wow, you guys are good. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge.
Hallelujah. He's taken it upon himself. He said, God, nothing to do with you. I failed. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51, you may not know that, but that's David's prayer to God after he committed the sin with Bathsheba, amen? After the baby died and he got on his knees and he asked God for forgiveness, amen? That was David's prayer. And if you read further into that prayer, as he's on his knees asking for forgiveness, Kim, the next stanza, he's asking for blessing. He said, okay, I asked God for forgiveness, and I know he's going to forgive me. And the next part of that whole psalm is, he's asking God to bless me. Keep me. Bless me, Lord, so I could tell others about you. That's knowing God, amen? He already knew God is going to forgive him, and said that's the God that we love and worship. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We had a celebration here yesterday that was just so beautiful and so sad and so... And so powerful. There was so much love shared here. And the church was full, and it was just... We're all going to take that journey, amen? All of us. How many? All of us. And to have the journey like that, and the love, and the felt of love, and there were so many things going on in the church, and so many people hugging on. But there was something going on in the church that could have been easily missed. And it's so amazing that something so important in the service could have been easily missed. This young lady played the piano from 9:30 until the end of the service. Yeah, but if she did not play, the church would have been full of noise and full of voices and full of... But as she played, that spirit, those songs, whether you knew them, probably people didn't listen to what the songs were. Somebody might have said, but it wasn't the... It was the spirit and you playing that made this, the after the morning, that just so beautiful. Amen. And I just wanted you all to realize that she was here at 9:30 and our sister's going through something at home. And we need to keep Bob in prayer. You know, he's healthy, just he's having a problem walking. And she never knows when he's going to fall down. And it's like, I can't imagine her not being at home. But she was here from 9 o'clock until the service was over. And then she came and fellowshipped with us after the cemetery. And I just wanted to just let you know what her sacrifice was yesterday. And her love for this church. And her love for Dave and Cindy. And what she did. And I just, you know, how do you say thank you? Could we give Joanne some praise this morning? You see, so I don't have to give a testimony today about God, because the testimonies were here yesterday, what God does, how God brings people together, the love that you feel from people you don't even realize sometimes, the prayers, it's not, you know, praying is nice, we all pray, but the actual being and the actual doing is a testimony to God, amen? You're a member of which church? I know you're our family, but you're St. Michael's Church, because it was a Polish church, amen? She went to, because it was Polish, but they, guess what, they were talking about the same Jesus. Amen? The same Our Father in Heaven. The same Michael. The same Gabriel. Hallelujah. So that's the testimony of God. We are all in the family. We need to realize that and understand how important each one of us are. I called somebody this morning and said, I hope we're going to see you today, because we keep them in our prayers. Sometimes it's, you know, it's nice to pray, but sometimes it's nice to pick up the phone and call them. Say, hey, how you doing? Where you been? And you know, sometimes, Sergio, it's that call that makes them say, hey, it's really important to be here. We lost somebody else this week, and my wife and I were in Florida, and we got the message, and I, you know, you have to let us know. And I was just, one of those times when you just stop, and we lost our bell ringer. He came to the church as a man searching for God, searching for the Word, and we loved him, and he was so wonderful and so big and so cuddly. He was Jim, and we, because Gary is 112 pounds and David, forget it. And when they ring the bell, I expected, so we said, here's Jim, you know, 250 pounds of a guy that can ring the bell with one hand, and we made him, asked him to be our bell ringer, and he was so honored and so loved the church. And then he was stolen away from us in the blink of an eye. Amen? So that's why this is where you need to be on Sunday. Every Sunday. And you need to be here not just for me, not just for God, but for the people sitting around you. Amen? As we grow together, this is now the nucleus. When we started, there were six of us, Deacon Chuck, right? And that was the nucleus. And Bernie was here. And it got to be eight. And now we're getting to the numbers of 30 and 40 sometimes, and sometimes 50 on a Sunday. So that's why we're all important, see? We're all building. So when the next 50 come in, this is the group that will lead them. This is the group that will help them and lift them up. That's the testimony. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you that you give us this home and you give us people who love us. You give us a new family, just like the Word said. Just like the Word. You prove the Word right. You give us a new family. Sometimes we argue with our brothers and sisters, our mothers and fathers, our aunts and uncles, but we come into this place and we have new brothers and sisters. As Jesus said when they came and said, Jesus, your mother is here. And he said, who is my mother? Those who will believe in me are my mother, my brother, and my sister. Those who will believe in his name, who will love him, he called them family. This is your family. There's somebody out there, there's Satan out there who wants to attack everything that you do and bring to mind everything that you did in the past and say, oh, that wasn't so bad, do it again. Oh, you can do that. God will forgive you. And you say, no, I don't want to fight through that battle again. I want to walk forward with you. I don't want to argue with my wife or my husband again. I want to walk forward with you. I want to do things the way God called me, because when I do, I know that blessings flow behind it. And I know when tragedy comes or sorrow comes, that there'll be love behind it that'll hold me up. In a world that doesn't know God, there's none of that. I just can't imagine, nor do I want to, what anybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus and Jesus Christ in this book, what they feel on a day like yesterday. There's nothing. Nothing. And with God, there's everything. That's not a testimony. I don't know what it is. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. We ask you to keep us safe. And Lord, as I said, keep those angels flying around this church, keeping us safe. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Some people in the Bible are called to preach. Some people in the Bible are called to pray. The elders, people are called to give. People are called to do, to be doers. Amen? And one thing I struggle with it. I love God. I love it. The prayer, to me, Wigglesworth used to say, you know, you got to keep it short. You got to keep it to there. Because the second the prayer gets to you being talking and not God, all of a sudden the Spirit's gone. And so I always pray about stuff like that. And so I always pray when I'm praying for you that somehow I touch you. And then Elder Pat will come up and pray and the whole church's fallen over. People have to hold her up because she gets right to the Holy Spirit. And see, the gifts, these are gifts, amen? So I say, if somebody in the church can help you in a way that you don't realize, as long as when you realize that you can't do it yourself, amen? To delegate and to give and to let others do who are called maybe to do something different. So when she prays, I just feel, and when Sister Nancy and Sister Mary, with what you go through every single day, when we see you, all is a smile. I know that inside of you, you're praying and you're calling to God. But when the world sees you, they see God.
Especially Miss Mary, twice they have called her and said, "Get ready, we have a kidney for you." And turned around within an hour and said,
"Miss Mary, Jesus is with you." And it was just to let you know that it's coming. We know that it's coming. You know that it's coming. Hallelujah. Jackie, I'm glad to see you today. You've been going through what our daughter goes through so severely. That's not a, you know, it's not an easy thing. When your body's in that kind of pain, it's not, but we're glad that you're here today with your lovely husband who played so well yesterday. Not at all. David, we came to church yesterday to sing. We walked in the door, and I looked, and there were flowers from that end of the room to that end of the room, and said, "Well, we ain't singing today, so praise God." All right. God put somebody in my path, I guess you'd say, on the way down to Florida. This man sat next to me on an airplane. He's in his 80s, maybe early 80s. And at least I told you yesterday. He had tennis rackets, and he put it in there, and he sat down next to me. And, you know, as I'm going to do, I started talking to him, and he started talking to me. And he said to me, "Well, how you been? Where you from?" He lives up in just the other side of Hartford. And I said, "You play tennis?" "Yeah, I'm a referee. I've been playing tennis all my life. I've refereed John McEnroe." And oh, we had a good laugh about that. Then one of the greatest tennis players of all time. And he showed me pictures on his phone. I know, Gary, I got to get one of them phones. Of him and McEnroe. And his son was at one of the things. And McEnroe had this, if anybody knew John McEnroe as a tennis player, he was angry all the time. He breaking and screaming at the judges. And he had this one thing he used to say. I believe it was, you got to be kidding me, or you must be kidding, or something like that. He said, well, he said that he was doing it wasn't for money. What would you a fundraiser and Mac charity? Thank you. And so he was a line judge, and he called something out on McEnroe, and McEnroe come over and started, you must be kidding me. What are you? And he said, I looked up, and there was his son sitting in the stands looking at him, and his son realized that McEnroe's yelling at my dad saying that. It's what an honor. It's like an honor. And this man was so sweet. And then he said to me something, and I realized maybe this was one of the reasons he was sitting next to me. I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I was born in Egypt." I said, "Wow." really? And I guess other people wouldn't ask him. I said, really? He said, just outside of Cairo. He went to school in Cairo. He was very successful. His father, very successful. He was a Muslim. I mean, it didn't look like a Muslim. And he's a Muslim. And 29 years he lived in there, and he said, I was a practicing Muslim. There's five tenets that they have to do, five. And he said, I did them all. I did the praying every day. I did the journey. I prayed to Allah. I gave alms to the poor. He said, I was faithful. My father was faithful. He said, it was, you know, how I was raised. And I came to the United States. And I said, that's, you know, what you know. And he said, and one day I walked into a congregational church, and he said, I heard something that just turned my life around. He heard them say, all are welcome here. And you said, wow. Because the Muslim faith is you're either Muslim or you're not. And if you don't live up to the five tenets, then you're not. And you're not accepted. And if you're not a Muslim, you're just not. That's how it is. And he said, there's no middle ground. There's no you are. And there are Christians in Egypt. They're called Coptic, whatever, how you want to pronounce it, Christians. And they're not really looked upon kindly by the retinue. When I was so enthralled in all of this story, and he was telling me, and he said he found this congregational church. That's where he found the word. But there's more to the story. And it was, he found this woman and he fell in love with her, David. And he married her. An Irish Catholic. Yep. And he's saying all these things. And he said, I go to church with my wife in the Catholic church. Now remember, where did he hear the word and where did he hear that? In the congregational church. And he said, I went to church with her, and he said, I couldn't dig it anymore. There were too many rules. They had too many other things that you had to do, and you had to this, and you had to pay that. And, you know, not that we're just saying that. He just kind of said, And he sort of said, my wife goes to church every Sunday. She was sitting across on the other side. And I think they were happy they weren't sitting together. I can't imagine not sitting next to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. And it was just so amazing to hear him talk about God and talk about his children and talk about his faith. And I wanted to hear all about Egypt and all how he knew. And I thought, what a beautiful day today to just kind of explain some more and give you some more knowledge and Bible knowledge. And not for... Wait, knowledge is how you use it. I guess that's the best way to say. So I'm going to go... Yes?
He said that you're not... That when you're born, he said, your parents choose your religion.
Yes.
And, you know, and he said, you know, that's what I came to realize years later, because if I had a choice, I loved the congregational.
Yep.
And he said, so we're all born into the faith that our parents give us.
And I'm praying and believing. I gave him a card afterwards, and if we talked about music, I'm believing that we may actually see him in the church. And I invited him and said, we'd love to have you come and just meet. And he just loves the congregational. He loves the fact that all people are welcome here. Amen. And I spoke to somebody. I don't know who she was, David, but we had a long conversation. She was also from a Catholic church. You came over and wondering what we were talking about. We were talking about bow hunting or something. And we talked about the church and about how, you know, just God is the answer, and we don't have to make more rules, and we don't have to complicate them. Amen. So I'm going to go back to Genesis, and this is very interesting study, and well, you can follow along or listen. And Genesis 15 says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Now, who's talking to Abram? God. Remember that. God. Not an angel, but God. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. Eleazar is Abram's most trusted servant, his oldest servant. And in those times, in those places, when you had no children as an heir, amen, they became the person who served you, the oldest one. So he's saying, I don't have any children. Is Eliezer going to be my heir? And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body. Come from where? Your own body, and shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look at God saying, look toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham is called the father of the Jewish nation. Amen. The father of the Jewish nation. Hallelujah. So we go a little bit further into 16. And we read about this, and it says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant. A who? A Muslim maidservant, whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, who said Sarai said to Abram, not God, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. Now that was also another custom. Amen. If the wife could not have children, the husband was allowed, George, to go to the maidservant to have the child with. See, that was a custom. That wasn't God's rules. Amen. It was whose rules? Man's rules. Thank you, Lord. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I should. And listen, if your wife ever tells you to do that, Walter, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even think about doing it. Act like you didn't even hear her, because, you know, does this dress make me look? There's no answer, Chuck. The dress is nice. Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. The custom was also, if the maidservant has a child, the child belongs to Sarai and Abram. See, they can take the child as their own because the maidservant belongs to them according to the tradition of man. Hallelujah. So she's saying, go in, have a child, and then we can have that child that will be our child. Hallelujah. Abraham, Greg, I came. Abraham heeded the voice of Sarai. Can I get a little of that, Brian? Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Of course, now there's anger. Now there's jealousy. Amen? Jealousy comes from who? The devil. Hallelujah. This was not God's law. This was whose? Man's law. What happened when we follow man's law? Not good. So he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw she conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abraham, Jean said to Walter, my wrong be upon you. It's your fault. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord's judge between you and me. She's saying, you should have known better. That's impossible. Come on. That's what she's saying. This is true. This is in Genesis. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please, which was also another custom. You could do as you please with your maid. You can send her out, send her homeless, send her on her way. That was a custom. Hallelujah. So she's saying, Abram saying, now do whatever you want. That doesn't work. So when Sarai dealt harshly with her, let me say. So Abraham said to Sarai, indeed your maid is in your hand. She's in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Hagar ran away. Who wouldn't? Amen. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. Hallelujah. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Now the angel knows the answer. He wants to hear Sarai say it. He wants Sarai to Hagar to admit and understand so he can answer her. She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael. Because the Lord has heard your affliction, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Hallelujah. The angel tells Hagar, you're going to have a son. His name will be Ishmael. I will give him a nation of his own. Anybody want to guess what nation is? Ishmael, hallelujah, fathered the Arab nation. Amen. But God said he would be blessed. Amen. Because he still came from who? Abram. Hallelujah. We go a little bit further into 17. Now when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Who appears to Abram?
God.
That is the distinction I want you to think about. God came to Abram and said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. How many? Many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Hallelujah. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Remember yesterday, if you were here, we read about Lazarus. David, do you remember that story of Lazarus, the beggar man who died? Where did he go? To Abraham's bosom. Now you remember, maybe that not be the paradise for you, but remember it was the beggar man who had nothing in life. Nothing. He may have had nobody that he even knew that he lost. He had zero. And where did God and the angels bring him? To Abraham's bosom. What place of honor could be bigger than that? Amen? Hallelujah. That's why that little story that Jesus tells us about Lazarus is even more powerful when you understand who Abraham is. Amen? Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. From her. Hallelujah. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, is this man going to argue with God till the day God comes back? He said, Abraham says to God, listen, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, I know this isn't going to happen, God. Even though God's telling you, he doesn't believe it. So when you have doubts sometimes, don't think it's wrong. Don't think if you have doubts there's something wrong with you. Here's Abraham talking to who? And who are you listening to? Some pastor, amen? Abraham's talking to God and he's saying, I don't believe it. And he's saying, no, come on, my wife's 90, I'm 100. Let Ishmael's good enough. He's my son. I know he's not, you know. This is when you read this stuff, it's just amazing. It just makes you, hallelujah. And he said, then he finished talking with him, and God went up and said, for Ishmael. Oh, he said, no. Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you, Lord. That's so good. Then God said, no. Thank you, Lord. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. God's telling him now, I have heard you, that you love your son. I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. If anybody knows anything about the Muslims and the Arabs and how much money they have and how wealthy they are and how wealthy a land with the oil and everything, you have to understand that God was telling him, I have heard you, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and they will multiply him exceedingly. Hallelujah. How many in that world are there? They will multiply. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this said time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we go a little bit further? Hallelujah. 21, Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Hallelujah. Isaac. Thank you, Lord. Whose timing? God's timing. Man's timing caused what? So much trouble. Amen. So many things. When we get ahead of God, when you get ahead of God's timing and you figure, oh, he's not listening. Oh, it's been 2 weeks since I prayed for that. Anyhow, but I'm going to go. When you get ahead of where God wants you to be, when you give up on your dream before God has brought it to you, you're not allowing God to fulfill his word. Can I get an amen? When you don't trust him enough to really fight through and do all you can do while you're waiting. Let me say that again. Do all you can do while you're waiting. You're not allowing God to bless you in the way that he wants to bless you. Amen. If you do things unaccording to God, he has to take care of that situation first. Amen. And there are consequences. Amen. To some things that we do. Can I get an amen? And these are some of the consequences of what happened. Hallelujah. Called his name Isaac. Thank you, Lord. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Sarah saw the son. Sarah saw Ishmael, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Understand the pain that Abraham was feeling now. He knew that he must do that, but he also knew that his wife told him to go to Hagar. They followed men's traditions. They followed all the rules that men had made, and they just kept going. And this is what happened, you see. Hallelujah. And the matter was very displeasing. You all can relate to that. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For Isaac, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. Hallelujah. Thank you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave it the lad to drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Praise God. I have to say, if you study this, you understand that people talk about peace between one part of the world and the other, and it's near impossible to vision a peace when one group of people believe totally opposite. And in the Muslim faith, they actually believe that Abraham and Isaac and Jesus were actually Muslims. They actually believe that Jesus was simply a prophet, that God, they call Allah, God did not need a son, that it was blasphemy to think that God needed any help. Amen. This is their belief. This is how they truly believe this. And not telling you to judge them. I'm not telling you which. I'm just telling you that this is how they believe. And they believe that Abraham was a Muslim. They believe that Moses was a Muslim. See, so there's never going to be peace. And we're told in the Bible that Ishmael is going to be a wild man, a man of, and his hand will be against every hand and every hand against him. Amen. So this together, and this is what this man told me that day on the plane. He said, when I came to the church, the congregational church, and said, all are welcome, I did not know how to accept that. I was so taken back by the fact that the church said, all are welcome. When you go to another, you're not welcome unless you say and you commit yourself to one God and you turn back, you turn your back on Jesus. Amen. That's what you must do in order to be accepted. In this church, you come to get the word of God. Amen. So I asked God and I prayed. So I prayed this morning and I said, God, you know, I always like a closing. I always like to bring it back. And God said to me, I didn't hear his voice, Craig. He didn't like talk to me and I was talking, but I felt it in my leading. People say I talk to God. I say, ooh, that's great. Okay, maybe God's talking. God said to me, you have some other people. And I said, yes. You have Matthew. You have Mark. You have Luke. You have John. You have Peter. You have James. You have Paul. Who are they? Eyewitnesses to who? Jesus. And the miracles that Jesus did. And the words that Jesus spoke. I am the Son of God. I am that I was. I am today. I will be tomorrow. The promises of who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Eternal life. Paradise. As it was in the beginning, will be again like that here. Amen. I have John, who walked with Jesus, who talked with Jesus, who wrote me a letter in this book. To me, that is good enough. Amen. To me, I can stop right there and not look and judge. I can stop right there and just pray. Because I have the Gospels. And the Gospel simply means I have the good news. We no longer live under the covenant of law. Amen. We live under the covenant of grace because of who? Jesus. We are promised eternal life because of who? We are promised that we will see our loved ones again because of who? Jesus. That's good enough for me. I hope it's good enough for you, and I know it is. And I hope that you learn something and you hunger for a little bit more of that, because knowledge and understanding helps you to see the difference and to understand who Jesus is. I will never, never turn my back on him. Amen? Because he is my all in all, and he is yours. Give him praise, church. We're all going through things, brothers and sisters. We're all fighting different battles, and I'll tell you, we're stronger together. We're stronger together as a family. We can get through it. Hallelujah. We can get through it. And it's all because of Jesus. It's all because of the Son of God who came down and gave his life for us and for the remission of our sins and to love us and to bless us and to keep us and to lead us forever and ever and ever. As he took the bread and told his disciples to eat this, his body, to eat it. It means to take his word inside of him, everything about him, to keep it inside of him. And we ask to do this in remembrance of him in this church. To take that word and digest it day and night. Let it feed you. Let it keep you stronger. That's what he meant. Praise God. sometimes we have so much to be thankful for that we forget, and we still focus on the things that are coming against us. Let this moment just help you to just focus on the blessings, all the gifts and the things that you have, and the love that you have, and the chance that you have for today to just enjoy with your children and your loved ones and your grandchildren and your friends, and watching a race today, whatever it is you're doing, just look at the blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I choose to follow Jesus. I believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I believe what they told me. I believe what Jesus says. And we do this in remembrance of Jesus. I believe that he shed his blood for anyone who will believe on him. I believe he did that sacrifice, that amazing grace, that unmerited favor for those who would love him, who would call upon him. And the promises are from Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, the power of the blood, for the remission of our sins, according to the beautiful book of Matthew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All are welcome in this church. All searching for God are welcome, of any race, of any nationality, whatever your heart. You coming for searching for God, you are welcome in this church. Thank you, Lord. I told that woman yesterday that people are going to be very surprised who you see in paradise with you. Very surprised, because they gave their heart to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We were at the park, and it was very hot, and stuff going on at the park that day, and then I saw a family pushing a wheelchair with a boy. His hands were crippled and his legs were crippled. And he was in that wheelchair enjoying every second. I said, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive me. And just rejoiced in what we had, and rejoiced in what I was feeling in the air and the people and the laughter. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. God will take care of the rest. Don't be like Abraham and Sarah. Don't get ahead of them. Don't try to do for God according to man. The world is living more and more towards man. Well, man allows. I don't want to be that pastor. When somebody meets Jesus face to face and says, well, my pastor said it was okay to do this. I don't want to be that pastor. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want God's way, God's word. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Every time they bring that up to me and I go to take it, I get a shock. And I said to Deacon Jim, it's not even metal. Praise you, Lord. Praise the miracles of God. He shed his blood for our sins. Asked us to do simply this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name we shall. You have so much to be thankful for today. Enjoy. Enjoy. That's what God tells you to do. Enjoy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.